Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Theoretical Tea and Company. I'm Dr. Janice Collins joining you today. Hope everyone's having a great weekend. We have a special show lined up for today to end out our month, and two special guests that I'm so pleased to introduce you to at this point in time. Yesterday was a big event, and actually I would say that even before yesterday, the event was huge 40 years ago. And 40 years ago, there was the whole idea of Miss Black EIU. And Miss Black EIU started 40 years ago, and we'll talk a little bit about the history with our guest today. And we'll also talk with the newest winner, who was crowned last night, along with the organizer of the event. So, without further ado, let me first begin with our introductions. I first have with us this afternoon is Professor Yolanda Williams, who works in the Department of Minority Affairs. I could go on and on about all of her credentials, educational credentials, including multiple masters and bachelors, but in the midst of our conversation, I want to make sure we get to a lot of things. I won't, because it would take us all 30 minutes to get through that. But needless to say, she's very credible, and we're so happy to have her here at Eastern. And she was actually the organizer of Miss Black EIU. So welcome to the show, Yolanda.
Welcome. Thank you.
Great. And next to her, we have the present reigning queen of Miss Black EIU, Timory Jackson, who's a junior here. She is majoring in elementary education with a concentration in English and science. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Well, great. Well, first thing what I want to do is I want to start off first with, let's talk briefly about the history, if you will, Yolanda. Let's talk briefly about the history, how this pageant came about 40 years ago. How did that start briefly? And then we'll talk about where it is today.
In 1971, the homecoming queen for Eastern, usually the homecoming queens are a BSU candidate. So BSU puts up a candidate for king and queen. Majority of all the white Greeks put up a candidate for king and queen, so on and so forth, the residence halls. So that year, 71, the queen ended up being black, and her name was Debbie Minor, M-I-N-E-R. She won the homecoming queen, and there was some fallout from that, some recounts. The way I hear it, it was multiple recounts, and then the next day it came up that she was not the homecoming queen.
Okay, and so she was first crowned homecoming queen, and then
right. They
did recount, and then turned out that she wasn't.
Right. Okay. And the students, I'm assuming at that time, didn't like it and decided that they wanted something of their own, something to create for them, more of a cultural pageant than beauty or popularity.
Okay. And so that was a some time ago, and so out of that, instead of, okay, we're going to put another contestant up, because, you know, everyone changes. With every generation, things change, things improve, and things get better for us all. So out of that controversy, then what organization and who decided to have a response to that and come up with? Was Miss Black EIU the response to what happened?
Yes, Miss Black EIU was the response. That's what happened. And from the history I know, it was Black Student Union.
Okay.
And Black Student Union still puts up a candidate for homecoming queen.
Okay.
That's just how we do. That's what we do. So they still put up a candidate for Miss Black EIU.
Okay.
I mean, for homecoming queen. At the same time, we have Miss Black EIU in February.
Okay. So that all happens at the same time. So, and let me ask you a quick question. I know this is live, but I want to make sure that you all can hear me and everything that's going on. Do you see any headphones there?
Yes.
Okay, put those on for me, please, both of you. You have your tiara on.
No, she doesn't have any.
Okay, you put yours on, please, and the producer will come out and get you another one that you put that on that you can hear to make sure that we hear each other nice and neatly.
I don't hear anything.
Okay, he'll take care of that just momentarily.
Okay.
And so then we have Miss Black EIU, And that came out because of the controversy that during that period of time where people weren't really progressive, I guess, or accepting of differences, instead of changing certain, instead of infiltrating and saying, okay, we're going to have to change your system for us, Black Student Union said, okay, well, we're going to do it this way so that we know that we're judged fairly and equally by our peers, which happens in academia anyways.
Right.
When you actually put a paper in, you know, submit a paper to any conference, you have to be judged by your peers, people who understand you, know your culture. If you're talking about education, you actually are judged by other educators,
correct,
things along those lines. So it seems like it's along the same lines.
Correct.
Okay. And so... So you has there has been a pageant every year since then?
There were a few years, and I'm not sure why, early in the 70s, that the pageant didn't happen, and not sure why. Like, it looks like 75 and 76, it didn't happen then.
Okay.
And it looks like 80 and 81 didn't happen.
Okay.
But since then, it has. So I don't know if it was funding. Okay. I don't know if... there was one, and just our history is missing those names.
Okay.
So I'm not sure.
Okay. Okay, great. Well, that gives us a little bit about the history, and because we've come so far in America, we can take most any subject and have to actually look at it 4 years ago, where women were 4 years ago, where different marginalized, if you will, groups were years ago. It's it has changed, and I would propose that it has improved on a number of different levels. So let's move up to where we are now in 2011. You being the organizer of this pageant that's happening, and actually you were one of the winners. Was it 1995? Okay. You know, I think it's wonderful. So you actually were one of the pageant's winners, one of the queens,
right,
of 1995.
Of right.
And coming up to the year now here of 2011, this was the 40th anniversary, which was really special and really big. And what you all did was you brought back the majority of the contestants who actually won over the past 40 years, which was really, really wonderful to see.
It really was, too. Like, when we came up with that concept, we started working with Alumni Services and Mona Davenport and Cece, who's been here for half the pageant.
That's Cece Brinker?
Yes.
Yes.
They, it was just a good idea. And so we had Alumni Service, you know, see if they can track them down with, you know, addresses. And then we just started from there, just emails. And we got a big response back. Like, they all were like, oh, my God, yes, just tell us when, where. And we wanted to make it financially... what's the word? Just financially able for them to come. So, you know, all the events. Well, part of being Miss Black EIU is that you never pay for anything that BSU has ever again. Like, that's just a part of the crown.
Okay.
So we knew that the luncheon, we had a brunch for them or breakfast for them. That would be free for them. But we, you know, we asked for their guests to pay. And then the pageant would be free for them. But they really wanted to come. We got them sashes. We got them little crown pendants. Mm-hmm. And they were ecstatic.
Okay.
They were
they
ecstatic.
They seemed like they were. Yeah.
Right. And then at the, it was like at the brunch, it was like, oh, my God, oh, my God, you know, because they hadn't seen each other. Some hadn't been back since they left, since they graduated.
Okay. Wow. So that was, and they all look great.
Yeah.
40 years later, they all look fantastic.
Oh, my God. And they were like, they wanted their shine, too. we set up a campus tour, so a lot of them wanted to go on the campus tour just to see how the campus has changed since they left.
Okay.
They brought their families with them, especially the ones who had daughters. They really brought their daughters back just to see these Black women who, you know, they told about the pageant, but it's, you know, when people think pageant, they think beauty pageant, and it's really not a beauty pageant.
Yeah.
So they were ecstatic.
That brings me to, that's a great segue to go into our other guest here, Miss Timmeray Jackson, who actually won last night.
Yay.
And he had seven contestants, and they were all formidable and all very talented and all beautiful and all well-spoken and all articulate and great majors and that sort of thing. But you came out Victoria. So congratulations
Thank
to you.
You.
And was this your first pageant?
Yes, ma'am, it was.
And how? And pull that mic for me in front of, right in front of your face there. There you go. And tell me about the pageant. Professor Williams or Yolanda Williams was saying that, you know, a lot of people think the pageant is just about being pretty and poised, which we know that's part of it. But what did it take to actually be a part of this pageant? Was there work involved?
Yeah, it was work. It was a lot of work involved.
Tell me about that.
It was something that I wanted to do, and I knew everything that I wanted to do. And I feel like I poured my heart out into every category, and I think that's what made it a little easier.
Okay.
Because I was so genuine and sincere with everything that I was saying.
Okay. Now, what about the aspect of the work that you have to do other than the practices and the rehearsals and that sort of thing? What about the other work that I've heard about raising money? Tell me a little bit about that.
Oh, yeah.
So you can't just be in the pageant and say, I'm pretty and poised. I want to be in the pageant and I think I'm really smart and I have a great personality. What does it actually, tell me about the fundraising. I guess you have to raise your own funds. Tell me about that. And then tell me a little bit about, you know, what does that mean about the individuals that are a part of this pageant? What does that mean for an individual to be, to take on this type of role and responsibility?
Okay, the raising money part, it was extremely hard and it was fun at the same time because I, along the way, I was able to meet a lot of people and to network and to be on a professional level, to actually go sit and meet with people, to ask for, you know what I'm saying?
So you could ask anyone? You were just out in the community?
Mm-hmm.
Or?
I went to Papa John's donated.
Okay.
My store, Walmart. I work at Walmart. They donated money. Jerry's donated. Like, I went to a lot of businesses.
So you have to hit the ground running.
Mm-hmm. Right. The pageant is funded by the sponsors. Duh, thank you.
Okay, so it's a sponsored event.
Well, by BSU. So like BSU, all ads. So the ads basically run the whole pageant. Like it's, and BSU has a different funding for all the events, but this, it doesn't start off with thousands of dollars. They may have had maybe $500 to start with. And then each young lady had to raise $500. A part of the ads, a part of the funding, but I think that comes back to just the whole being able to, I don't know, just being able to put yourself out there and talk to people and just get out there. And like she said, it's networking. Some young ladies have never even sat down with another business person and said, this is what I'm doing. And we give them a business letter. We show them how to ask. We show them how basically to fundraise. This is a fundraising event for you. So.
Okay. I just hit my mic off. I'm going to say, just real quickly, I just want to say that you're listening to Theoretical Tea and Company with Professor Janice Collins. My guests today are Professor Yolanda Williams and Miss Timory Jackson. Professor Williams was the organizer of Miss Black EIU 2011 at a reunion show, an event extravaganza, and Miss Timory Jackson, an elementary education major. With a concentration in English and science, was actually the pageant queen, the crowning queen we have in our studios today. So thank you for joining us with Theoretical Tea this afternoon. So along with that, I wanted to kind of talk a little bit about what you just said about actually getting out and doing the business aspect and things along those lines with the money. One of the things that I remember and I know and I think about every day here on Eastern's campus, we talk about integrative learning. And integrative learning is taking something from the classroom and actually applying it to your life, taking something from your life and actually applying it to the classroom. This seems like this will be a great example of learning business aspects, networking, interpersonal communication, things along those lines.
Yes.
Tell me about that, some of the skills that you would have to have with that and whether you agree with that assessment.
Okay. Oh, I would agree with all those skills that you just mentioned. Like for me, I'm shy and I'm a little timid, but I know this is something that I wanted to do, so it made me work even harder. Like I had some businesses that I went to that wouldn't give me the time of the day, but that didn't stop me from going to the next one because I wanted to raise that money and even more.
Okay.
I wanted
okay.
to.
So that just pushes you even harder just to do it. And that happens to a lot of us. That happens to a lot of us. Things that we want and opportunities, doors are closed and that sort of thing for their own reasons. And we have to just keep going. We have to keep just keep tracking. So now that, what do you think that says about, what does it mean to you to be the queen? What's the next step? Now that you have been crowned and you had your after party and it's great and everybody's proud of you and proud of all the young ladies that were a part of the pageant, because it was really, first before I go to the diversity, I want to ask you, what's next? What do you do next? Now that you've won, what do you do?
I plan on hosting my own form and just to plan to lead as an example, because I've been a peer leader for 2 years and I mentor like over the course probably like 8 girls. So it just doesn't have to stop with those 8 girls. Now that I'm Miss Black EIU, I plan to open it up to everyone, every young woman on this campus.
And why do you think a pageant like this, a forum such as this, is important? When you talk about young ladies and young women, why do you think a pageant like this is important? Because of the fact that, for instance, one of the judges, when they introduced one of the judges, she said, that she was happy to bring her little girl, her daughter, there to actually see what this is really all about. She just happened to be European American. And so I saw in the audience diversity. I saw white, Hispanic, black, old, young, in between, even in the contestants.
Yes.
There were contestants who were biracial. There were contestants who, and they talked about that. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just about Africa and African American. They said, you know what, I have a white mom and I have a black dad or an African American dad, and I represent and I'm proud of both of these.
And that's the beauty of it.
Okay, tell
me
about that.
Mm-hmm. I think it is a wonderful pageant to have because, like you stated before, it helps you develop, you know, skills that you may have not have had at first and skills that you will have even after the pageant. Mm-hmm. And it's a time to be confident, to inspire and encourage young women to do the same thing that you just did so the pageant will continue.
Okay.
I would like to say, when we talk about her next duties, I don't even know if she's talked to BSU yet.
Okay.
But BSU, like, she's going to be able to do her own forms, definitely.
Okay.
But then any panels or anything that BSU needs her to be a representation for, that's part of her duties.
Okay.
But BSU has really been on, they call themselves the movement now because they've really making some changes in the BSU organization, and a lot of that is about educating. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if she came up with a form every month, she'll be able to do a form every month, whatever she wants to do, because she's a good representative of BSU.
Yes. Okay. And actually, I'm on the exec board of BSU.
Oh, yeah, so you'll be able to do that anyway.
I'm over service affairs, and I've been active in BSU since my freshman year.
Okay.
And this year, I became a member of the exec board.
Okay.
And I'm over the service affairs committee.
And then she's automatically the candidate for homecoming in October.
Okay.
Nervous.
And we have come a long way, I would have to say. Eastern has come a long way over the past 40 years because when you look at the homecoming court now, there are African Americans that make up the king and the queen and the prince, I think they're called. And
2008, Chandra Golden was the first black homecoming queen or the second?
Since 40 years?
If you're going to add the first one, then she was either two or three. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the girl that was, I think, before her, but she's 2008. And then Jaleesha, who was not Miss Black EIU last year, but she's the homecoming queen now, is black.
Okay.
So within 40 years, we have four.
Okay. And let me ask you, not only was it a packed house, I mean, I think I saw maybe two rows in the back. It was huge.
And those are prop people and extras.
Okay, yeah, that's right. But let me ask you this. Let's talk about, in particular, children, girls of color, whether they're biracial, Latino, white, black. Why do you think, what role does something like this event play, if you will, in the self-esteem, leadership of maybe I would say, and theorists would say, young women who they don't see a lot of themselves in the media. Mm-hmm. They don't see a lot of themselves on billboards. They don't see a lot of themselves in positive lights. I'm going to throw that to you with that.
And once again, that's why I think that this pageant is a wonderful thing to have, because it's a mixture. It's not just targeted for African Americans, and it gives young women of color or minorities to, you know, show their creative side, to show what they're about, even if they're not, you know, since it's not even a, like, since in the media they're not represented in a positive way. So this is a chance, you know, for them to do that and for people to see them for who they are.
Now, who and Yolanda, I know you want to talk about that a little bit. I'm going to let you say something about that as well. Mm-hmm. I want to ask you, though, how old are you?
I'm 22.
22. I want to ask you about the media right now.
Okay.
Whose fault do you think that is, that there aren't positive representations, not only for women of color, but also for white young ladies? When you look at certain shows that actually promote and reward them for beating each other up, for talking down to each other, calling each other the B word. Mm-hmm. So it's not, all of a sudden, this race line, yes, it is there, all of a sudden it's getting blurred, though, which I was really happy to see, because not only did you all do the pageant, you actually took out time to talk about why is it there, the education, where did it start, what is it about? Whose fault do you think that is about the media, and what do you think needs to be done about portraying women? Women of color, white women, Asian women, Native Americans. We could do a whole show on Native Americans about any representation. Whose fault do you think that is, and what can be done about it? Or is that a fair question? Should I ask whose fault it is?
I think it's a fair question. And it's like, what are those people? Paparazzi.
Paparazzi. Uh-huh.
Yeah. They'll try to take any small thing and turn it into a negative way. So at the same time, I feel that it's very important for a young lady or an older lady to present themselves well at all times, so nothing, even a small inch of what you're doing, could be changed into something, you know.
So you're saying the woman has to take responsibility for her actions,
ma'am,
and not give them something, the ammunition.
Mm-hmm.
Because just like in news, we report what's real.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like the news and you think it's bad, change the world.
Mm-hmm. Sorry,
I mean, but maybe I could be a little
biased.
Over the top.
No, I'm kidding. I think everybody is accountable. Like, I think, you know, when they say things start at home, well, some young ladies don't have that home where
they
can start there. So then we look at teachers, because there's teachers who, you know, they spend a lot of times with their professors or their teachers or on their campus or in their schools, but that's not the fallback. I don't have any children, you know, so it's like, that's, I'm not the fallback. But I think we all have to be accountable at some point. We all have to step up to the plate at some point and say, okay, like, my mom wasn't there, but my godmother's there, and she's a good role model for me, and, you know, I don't like this teacher, but I like that teacher, and I don't like this church, but I like that church. Like, we all, as a community, you know, it takes a village, and I totally believe it takes a village to raise a child.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, I think we all have to step up to that.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, media shows what you give them, and at the same time, we have people in our community that are giving them negativity for money, period, dot. That's what they're doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a sister out of Philly who did her research on video vixens.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these women are like moms and, you know, trying to get through school. And so is it quick money? Is it fast money? Yeah, I guess. But, you know, we all make those choices, and that's a part about being an adult and being a woman, is that we may have to make choices that is not popular, that everyone may not like, but if that's what I need to do, I'm gonna do it. But at the same time, there's that responsibility to the young girl down the street that sees you doing that.
Well, you're talking about the extended family, you're branching out to that, which is very it used to be in a lot of different cultures a long time ago, especially the Black culture. You used to, you know, so your neighbor would tell your mom what you did wrong. And I was talking to a neighbor friend of mine the other day. Well, that's one of the things that's actually been missing. A lot of people live in neighborhoods and they have no idea who's their next door neighbor.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And they say, it's not my child.
When we talk about this pageant, like, that's what I learned about these young ladies working with them since November. Like, I learned about their family and their family life and who was there for them and who isn't. And they were still there. They all were still great role models. They all, at some point, their life went a different path. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's research to be done later, mm-hmm. or sooner than later,
right.
About what is it that you have just as rough life as someone else, but there's a path that you took that's differently that mm-hmm. maybe led you to this school,
yeah.
led you to this pageant, led you to put yourself out there mm-hmm. to be the next role model. There were so many, some of the former queens brought their daughters
mm-hmm.
and they was wearing the tiaras, and that's what yeah. we liked about the princess theme is that,
yeah.
you know, that whole African-American princess,
mm-hmm.
you know, and being pretty and graceful yeah. and at the same time showing your cultural side.
Right.
Be it African, African-American, both, or
yeah.
both.
And what's really interesting about that, and one of the things I will say about a pageant such as this, in the African-American culture, the women, and because of the whole slavery aspect, and what's coming in is that they have a burden of stereotypes that a lot mm-hmm. of white women don't have.
Correct.
But white women they do have stereotypes. For instance, you know, they're the homemaker, they shouldn't work.
Mm-hmm.
They have their own, I think every race,
thing.
Every
yep.
gender has their own burdens that,
yep.
that they bear, which is the reason why I thought was really, really great how you had so many different people in there
mm-hmm.
who could say, you know what, we all have a story to tell.
And they talked about that when they were working on their pieces. They would talk about how they were more comfortable with one side or the other.
Okay.
So, like, if it was the African or African-American side of them, I said, well, then put that in your piece,
right.
that you don't know much about it and
yeah.
that you want to know and that you have this passion and you have this connection to find
mm-hmm.
out about more that side of your family. It's okay to do that.
That's awesome. Two points I want to make, and then I'm going to let you all have the last word, and then we're going to close.
Okay.
It goes very, very fast, and we have a great topic. Thank you so much. What I really liked about this pageant as well is that it's never been, contrary to beliefs and rumors, it's never been exclusive. It's always been inclusive. So as a matter of fact, if any white person were to go on AfricanAncestry.com and actually, because all we know now, human beings actually started in Africa. Everybody
Correct.
Has African in them. Maybe only this the bit, more of this bit,
right.
or whatever. This little. But the fact is, if they went on AfricanAncestry.com and they actually did their DNA, they would actually find out from where in Africa they could do. Or they could actually join and talk about the African American. So it doesn't exclude, from my understanding, it doesn't exclude white people or Hispanic. Anybody
no.
who wants to join,
no,
they can.
Yeah,
that was the one thing that I thought was really interesting and great. And secondly, I want to leave, because this is a theoretical tea, I always like to bring a little bit of theory and research. And I will tell you, for my master's thesis, I did a study on commercials. And when you're looking at leadership and self-esteem and who gets to speak and who does not, I will say this, for 5 days, Monday through Friday, prime time, from 8 to 11 at night, five different networks, major networks, ABC, NBC, CBS, at the time I think it was WB and another one, mm-hmm. I can't remember. We actually recorded all of the commercials, okay, over 1,084 commercials. Actually, it was 1,084 commercials. I did an absolute study, not extrapolate,
mm-hmm.
you know, I did actual absolute numbers
right.
with over 2,023 characters. In all of that, in order for an Asian American woman to see herself speak one time out of 1,084 commercials, she would actually have to sit with five different sets on the network, 8 to 11, and she wouldn't hear herself speak one time.
I totally believe that.
Not one time. Not one time. For Asian American men, three. So we can look at all the different groups and say, you know what, we all have a burden to bear.
Yep.
White people have a burden to bear that they have to deal with, and they have to come to some peace. We have a burden to bear, Indians, Native Americans, Latinos, Asian. And I think it's a really great time to talk about that, because not one race is more important than the other, not with ethnicity, which is what really was beautiful about the diversity of the pageant. And it was actually very, very positive.
Mm-hmm.
So on that note, with this a little bit of research, I am going to let each of you say the last final word that you want to leave your audience with about what it's all about. Then we're closing. Timory Jackson, Miss Jackson, Miss Black EIU 2011. Is there anything you want to say to end it? Any word of advice for young lady listening?
To always lead by an example. And that's it. And I want to thank everyone for supporting me last night. And I'm so proud to represent Eastern Illinois University.
Okay. Thank you very much. Professor Williams, Yolanda Williams.
I agree with Tim that leading by example is a good thing. And that... what'd you say?
I said knowing.
Knowing what your self-worth is.
Yeah, and that's what you all really taught me. And being authentic, like I said last night, authentic self. And I'm glad everybody came out, and I hope you all come out again.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much to my guest, Professor Yolanda Williams and Miss Timory Jackson. It has been a pleasure. You've joined Professor Collins, Theoretical Tea and Company. Have a great afternoon, everyone. Enjoy your Sunday. Take care.